Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Taysom Hill is quarterbacking the Saints. There's no better way to root him on than with the Saints Happy Hour Crew to Taysom Cup. Become a Saints Happy Hour patron and you get one in your booze bundle welcome kit, along with four other amazing swag items. As a patron, you will also get full access to every Saints Happy Hour daily podcast covering everything Saints every day. Plus, you get access to our private Discord channel where you can talk Saints with other Saints Happy Hour patrons 24/7. Sign up for an annual subscription and save 5% off the monthly rate. What are you waiting for? Go to saintshappyhour.com and sign up today.
This is Sean Payton, head coach of the New Orleans Saints. What's with this Saints Happy Cast? This has to be the worst Saints podcast in the world. Ralph can't say anyone's name right. Andrew doesn't know football. Everyone has a hard time listening to Dave. And is Kevin even there tonight? The audio with this podcast, my God, the audio, it's painful.
All right, everybody, welcome to another Wednesday edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast. This one's free because of Manscaped and BetOnline. This is where we talk about Andrew's grades. You should become a $10 patron, though, because that way you get access to Andrew's written grades and you get the booze bundle courtesy of
my wife.
And you get access to the Discord channel, which the Discord channel, it's worth the price just for the access on game day. I have gone almost like it used to be. I was like 80% on Twitter, 20% in the Discord. Now I'm like 50-50 because the Discord channel is freaking amazing. So you should become a $10 patron. It's the best $10 you'll spend all month to feed your Saints football habit. Andrew, we got to talk grades today. And I want to talk about the good stuff first. I don't want to talk about the fumbles and all that stuff. I want to talk about this. My boy, David Onyemata. I saw how high he is in your yearly grades. He's third, correct?
Yeah. Well, Armstead didn't play, so his grade didn't fluctuate. But yeah, you've got Kamara and Armstead at the top, and Onyemata is third on the team. But they're right there. Like the GPAs are super.
What's
close.
My boy got to do to be number one?
To be team MVP?
Yes. What's he got to do?
Well,
maybe we could
right
argue MVP because that's subjective.
So
but like, what's
really
he got to do? What's he got to do to be highest GPA?
Like game where he has four tackles and a sack, and Kamara plays like shit. That's really all it would take. One game.
Oh well, I don't want that though. I want them both to play well. Maybe Kamara could like play awesome, but like Kamara could just have like Onyemata could just have a monster game. But speaking of that, let's start with this defense because it's number one by yards, which the Saints have never had. I know if you're an analytics person, you may be screaming at this podcast, hey, yards don't matter, but I doubt it because analytics, people that are hardcore analytics probably don't listen to this podcast. But so the Saints are number one and we take it and we appreciate it. They didn't sack Matt Ryan 8-9 times like they had previously, but they still got pressure on him. And
Ralph, did you see that there was a publication from the Falcons that the Saints, quote, only sacked Matt Ryan 3 times? Like, basically, they celebrated how great that was and what an improvement getting sacked 3 times is based on what they've been doing the last few games.
Yeah. The Falcoholic, man, yesterday, they're my scenario came to pass of like what would have to happen if you wanted to fire Dirk Cutter into the sun. Like, they wanted to do it because his play calling at the end of the game was horrific. But I want to talk about that. Like, the Saints secondary yesterday, I felt like they were – you cannot play any better than that, even if they were healthy. Like, and they were missing two guys, and they still made Matt Ryan a basket case. That's incredible, Andrew.
Yeah, no Davenport. I thought the pass rush was maybe down a tick. You know, I don't think the secondary was great in the sense that there were a lot of penalties. Lattimore had a really tough time with Ridley, and
Ridley's
I thought
so
it
good.
Was I thought it was interesting that they rolled with PJ on Julio, and I think the thinking there was he's an easier cover with this hamstring issue than Ridley is.
Yeah.
So let's put Lattimore on Ridley, and you know, Janoris Jenkins shut him down. I mean, he Janoris Jenkins. Now, that, I think the game he played against the Falcons is even more significant now that you look at how Lattimore did against them. But you know, I didn't think it was Lattimore's best game. I thought Marcus Williams was great. It was a little up and down. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson was a little up and down. But look, anytime you hold a quarterback like Matt Ryan, that he was like around 50% completions, he was sacked three times, they score 16 points to get in the end zone once. And, you know, once again, the red zone defense was just absolutely tremendous. So it was a little bit of a bend but don't break kind of day, but I'll take it.
Well, Sean Payton harps on it, and they harped on it before the game and after the game. They said, hey, our red zone defense was atrocious, and we got to get that fixed. And Sean Payton preaches it, and I never thought of it this way, but you should. He's like, a third down stop in the red zone is a four-point play, right? Because most likely, if you get a stop on a third down in the red zone, unless they're like inside the three, they're kicking that field goal. So it's a four-point play. So Sean Payton harps on it, and they've got it better. Marcus Williams, he was tremendous. It's a game like yesterday, Andrew, where you see it and you're like, maybe they should pay him. Like it, he was tremendous, and not just the play that everybody saw where he separated the guy from the ball, but he was just all over the place yesterday.
Yeah, good coverage. He broke really well on the ball. I mean, you could just tell. He had a really good understanding of the Falcons offense and what they try to do, where they want to go with the ball. And he's played them enough times where he's had to bracket Julio that I think he really understands the game plan and what he needs to do against that team. So he looked very comfortable out there. And, you know, for all the talk about his tackling and how he spent the offseason gaining weight and working on his technique to be a more physical and better tackler. You saw that in this game. I thought he saved two or three touchdowns with last line of defense tackles where he made it look easy and effortless, you know, and that hasn't always been the case for him. So
you know, and
he struggled at times this year, but this was one of his better games for sure.
His contract, we won't talk about it here because it's a podcast on its own. But the thing I'll say is the safety market for the NFL – is fucking weird. Remember in 2018, the Saints signed Kurt Coleman before free agency because Cincinnati had cut him, and they were like, we're going to jump on him. We're going to get him at a cheap price. We're going to get ahead of the safety market. And then the safety market...
Well, it was Carolina, right?
Yeah,
Carolina.
He was from Carolina.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Carolina.
Yeah.
And the safety market collapsed, right? And we were like, you could have got Tyrann Mathieu, you could have got all these other dudes for about
Kenny Vaccaro ended up going to the Titans for 1 year, like $4 million. Or
And we were like, you misread the market. Then last year, teams were like, oh, safety's important, and they started paying them again. So if it swings back and the safety market's dead, maybe Marcus Williams, if he's in the Malcolm Jenkins $9, $10 million range, maybe he stays. So I just think I don't necessarily know that it's a foregone conclusion that he's leaving. That's all I'll say.
Well, I thought the running back market was as dead as rock and roll, you know?
Yeah.
And then Christian McCaffrey gets that deal and it changes everything, you know? And then every running back got paid this offseason. So I don't know what to think anymore about the value of positions. It seems like whatever's trendy that summer, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what to expect anymore. But I tend to think Marcus Williams is a good player that'll get paid.
He'll get paid. I mean, he's going to get his floor is going to be like $10 million a year for like 4 years.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect with many teams strutting their stuff early. You might not be at the game this year, but you can still be in on the action at Bet Online. Bet Online is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, Bet Online gives you more options to wager than any other place online. Head to Bet Online today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
We got to mention, too, your UDFA son, Carl Granderson, had a huge play, caused the fumble, Matt Ryan, the sack fumble that they reviewed and overturned. The thing I ask about him is, if you believe like me that somebody's going to pay Trey Hendrickson ridiculous money because sacks equal millions of dollars, that's how the NFL operates, and he's going to get a ridiculous deal, so he's going to be moving along, that means Granderson sort of next year will slide into the Trey Hendrickson spot. So how's he been progressing?
Pretty good. I would say that actually the most impressive play, like, remember, now that's Jake Mathieu, a guy that's been to the Pro Bowl at left tackle. So that's a tough block. But, you know, Granderson is raw. He's a guy that just needs to work in the film room, develop his technique and all that. But I don't know if you remember that play where Gurley gets hit for a huge loss. And this was like on a carry deep in the fourth quarter when Atlanta was trying to take the lead, and DeMario Davis ends up finishing the play. But that play all starts with Granderson. So Granderson sets the edge, and when Gurley tries to bounce outside, now Gurley doesn't have the explosiveness and the speed he used to, but, you know, there's action going inside, and Granderson holds his spot just enough, and then he has just enough athleticism to close on Gurley, who's bouncing outside, that he forces Gurley to go a little bit deeper and a little bit wider than he otherwise would want to. And that buys Chauncey Gardner-Johnson just enough time to make a hit in the backfield to bounce him even further outside, and then DeMario Davis finishes the play. Yeah. But that was a huge play in the game, and I've seen Granderson on that same play bite way too hard, and if he does that, it's a touchdown. Instead of an eight-yard loss. So that to me was maybe one of the more encouraging plays from Granderson. But, you know, obviously a sack. I just want to say he has two sacks on the year now, Ralph. Both forced fumbles. And they are against former MVPs Tom Brady and Matt Ryan. So some pretty good scalps for him this year.
Well, the reason I ask is, look, you talked about it just now, the progression, the getting the reps, getting better. And I know some Saints fans maybe out there be like, hey, how can you expect him to replace Trey Hendrickson? Well, we didn't think Trey Hendrickson was going to get 12 sacks this fucking year. So if Granderson replaces him next year and – this may be probably a unicorn year for Hendrickson, right? And he may go back to being who he is. But if Granderson can be a 6.5 sack guy in 2021, that's plenty good enough, because that's kind of what we would hope. What's kind of like what we hoped Hendrickson would be this year, right? So that's why I ask. It's just something to look towards the future. The other thing with this defense, Andrew, is Sheldon Rankins was back. How did he look in his limited action?
He was okay. You know, he made a couple plays against the run that were good, and he hit Matt Ryan. He played a lot, so he must be recovered from his knee injury, because it wasn't like they were being shy with his snaps. I mean, I think he played about 70% of the game. This was an interesting game in the sense that Malcolm Brown played very little, and I think this was a personnel package. I actually really like what the Saints are doing right now with their personnel, where they love Quan Alexander and nickel, and so they play him in nickel because they love his coverage, they love his speed, they love his read and react to the ball. But when they're in base, they want to get more physical and they want to be a little bigger, so they'll put Bond and Anzalone in there instead. And just because the Falcons run so much dime, Malcolm Brown played less and Sheldon Rankins played more. So ideally, I would have liked to have seen Rankins make more plays and be more disruptive because of how much he was on the field. And to me, he was probably more disappointing than the rest of the defense, just because I didn't see him flash enough. But it's his first game back. He's coming back from injury, and I think it's at least an encouraging sign that he played that much when he was hurt.
Hey, Saints fans. I'm going to give you a name, and I want you to tell me, we're going to play a game. Is it a Saint, or is it a Discovery Channel redecorating host? The name is Anthony Zettel. Does he host the show on Discovery, or is he a Saints player? Andrew, do you know the answer?
I do know the answer. He is a Saints player. he's been on the practice squad, and he's an interesting guy. In the sense that he was a draft pick by the Lions. He's bounced around the league a little bit, but in 2017, he had 6.5 sacks. So he was like a Hendrickson kind of guy for the Lions in 2017. So he's been in the league and he's done it. You know, he's a veteran, but I really didn't see anything from him in his limited snaps. I thought he played very poorly. Actually, I thought he was pushed off the ball. He really got no pressure. So they weren't great sub snaps, but he's an interesting guy, and it'll be interesting to see if the Saints try to play him again.
I didn't know he existed until I read him in your grades. I'll be honest. I mean, I might run this podcast and people might think I need to be up on every Saints thing, but like I was like, I have no idea.
Well, he's a white defensive lineman rocking the 69. He reminded me of Les Miller. For all you old heads out there, all you old Saints fans. So the fat white guy rocking the 69, that was a Les Miller move.
Offense. So let's talk about Taysom Hill. The fumbles, I don't know what else to say about them, but just fucking stop fumbling. Like, figure it out, Taysom. You can't fumble. You're going to doom the Saints in a playoff game if you do that. Like, you know, I don't know what else to say. And the people were like, well, give him – some people in my mentions were like, well, give him a chance. He's only started 3 games. He needs time to clean up the turnovers. I'm like, it's not interceptions. It's not reading the defense. It's fumbling. Like, don't fumble. You know, so that was it. But do you want to say anything about before we get on to anything else? I mean, I don't know what else to say about
before. Well, we can break it down. I mean, we could go far back. There's been – so many. I mean, there's been 6 in the last 3 games. There's been others this year beyond.
If he was a running back, they'd bench him.
Yeah, when he wasn't a starting quarterback. So the fumbles have been out of control. All I can really, for the sake of this podcast, since it's a grade specifically against the Falcons, I'll address the 2 fumbles that happened in this game. And, you know, I've heard this thing, a lot of people are talking about hand size. You know, that's kind of the big narrative right now. And maybe that's a thing, but that has nothing – hand size has nothing to do with these 2 fumbles. I mean, if you look at both of these critically, the first one is inexcusable, but I just chalk that up to a young mistake.
Sean Payton kind of took the fall for that. He took the night. He was like, you know –
well, they should have been running the ball, number
them.
One. But number two, like, Taysom Hill's just trying to make a play. You know, they're down in the red zone. He's trying to get a touchdown, and he should have thrown it away. He shouldn't have gotten himself in a position where he got hit. And I do blame the play calling also. So Sean Payton does deserve criticism for that. But I think it's one of those things where he'll learn from that. He's like, yeah, I really have to throw that away. I can't be taking a sack and risking the football there. And that's not a hand size thing. Like, he's trying to get the ball out. He's trying to make a play, and it's just, he gets hit as he's throwing. So, and it just pops out. So that's not a hand size thing. That's just poor decision making. You know, that's just being reckless. And I can live with that because at least he's trying to make a play. The second fumble, like, to me, that has nothing to do with hand size either. That's just plain old ball security. His whole job description there is don't fumble. Get tackled in bounds, don't fumble. You're trying to run the clock out. He's got to have two hands on the ball. That's it. That's not a hand size thing. That's just like, why are you carrying the ball that way? Your whole deal is don't fumble. That's it. That's all you have to do.
Horseshit ball carrying, I know that. Horseshit.
Well,
Tim, those two, at least in this game, it was more technique, ball carrying, and it was decision making.
Well, the one thing I'll say about that second fumble is maybe I blacked out, but it seemed to stay on the sideline inbounds for like 5 years. And I just was like, oh my God, Atlanta's going to scoop that thing up and it's going to be a touchdown.
Well, let's say they do, and then they win the game.
Oh, my God.
Like, what a different conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and how different we're feeling. So, you know, thank God that ball rolled out of bounds. But it's one of those things where you talk about football being a game of inches, and that's it.
Ho, 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 fellas. Naughty or nice, 'tis the season to perform. You are in luck because Manscaped Performance Package is the ultimate man's hygiene bundle and makes for the perfect gift. Imagine opening an attractive box that says, your balls will thank you, with the most sought-after gadgets and scents a person could find. Included in this new package is the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, which is waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual blade system. Look, guys, 79% of partners polled admitted that long nose hair is a major turnoff. Why not use the best tools for the job here? This bundle includes the Lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, the best trimmer on the market for your balls, butt, and body. Tis the season to manscape. So get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all, the Manscaped Performance Package. Let's not forget their famous liquid formulations, the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner, to maximize your ball hygiene routine. Get the Performance Package now and receive their two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. The Performance Package is the best value that Manscaped has to offer and is hot off the shelves. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Thank you, Manscaped, for making our holes look sexy. Well, the one thing, though, I will say on the positive side, and we talked about it yesterday in the or the Monday, the big show, and I said it on my Channel 4 morning show hit, it was, you saw the exact reason why Sean Payton gushes to the media about he's the next Steve Young and this and that. You saw it in two plays. That 43-yard run, there isn't a quarterback in the NFL besides Lamar Jackson that can do that. And that throw on 3rd and 17, Andrew, to Michael Thomas was a ridiculous big boy NFL throw that not every quarterback in the NFL can make. And that's why Sean Payton is like, yeah, that's my quarterback after Drew.
Yep, you're exactly right. And I think it's so – I've seen everything I need to see from Taysom in terms of playmaking ability. He can throw. He's shown that he can be decisive with the football. He's shown that he can be accurate. He's shown that he has arm power. You know, like you said, that throw, that was a big league throw. You know, those are the kind of throws that Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes make. You know, that was a big time throw. So, ball security to me is the only thing standing in the way between him and being QB1. And so that's what he has to clean up.
Yeah, and look, you know, ball security, it's not exactly the same as interceptions, but it kind of is. Like, if you keep fumbling, to me, it's no different than if you're Jameis Winston and you keep throwing interceptions. Like, you got to clean that up, buddy, you know?
I mean, a turnover is a turnover. That's the thing. This team has been very successful by stopping the run and not turning the ball over on offense. So, I feel like the turnovers have ramped up with Taysom Hill starting.
Well, the thing is, they were always going to go back to the mean. I mean, last year they had 8 turnovers the entire year. Like, that was a unicorn. They were always going to have more this year. And our hope, if you listen to the show in the offseason, our hope was, look, they're not going to have 8 turnovers. They're going to have a normal amount of turnovers probably, or a little bit less than a normal amount for an offense. They still do really well. We were hoping, hey, the defense will create more and it'll balance out the ledger. The other thing on offense, Andrew, Kamara, he had an amazing run, scored a touchdown. But Michael Thomas, 2 out of 3 Taysom starts, he looks like Michael Thomas again. And I think we've sort of, I don't know the right word for it, but he hasn't been himself really until these last couple weeks. And the Saints are freaking 10-2, and they haven't had the offensive player of the year. Most teams, they would miss the offensive player of the year, and they'd be like, "All right, we're 5-7 because, dude, we're missing the offensive player of the year. We missed him for 9 weeks. What do you expect?" And the Saints just keep on rolling. And I don't think people appreciate or necessarily understand this Michael Thomas from yesterday. That's the guy they need if they're going to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's probably, and I said this on the post game, that's the biggest thing right now that I witnessed in that game. Is just that's been the most impressive thing so far for me. Is just that's the biggest takeaway from that game, because if Michael Thomas can be at that level, then this team can win a Super Bowl, like you said. I want to go back to the fumble thing real quick, Ralph. Interestingly, so the Saints are dead last in the league. They have 24 fumbles in 12 games. They have 2 per game. And that's dead last in the league. And 15 of those come from Taysom Hill. Now, this is a little unfair because I know Taysom Hill got credited with 3 fumbles yesterday, because technically the pitch to Kamara
is a fumble. That
gets counted as a Taysom Hill fumble. I mean, we all know that was Kamara's fault. But he's number 3 in the league. Like, Derek Carr is first with 11, Carson Wentz has 10, and Taysom Hill is 3rd with 9. Oof. He has 9 fumbles on the year, and actually Drew Brees has a lot this year. He has 5. So the
poor
Saints
shit,
have
Valkyrie, 14. I know that. Poor shit.
They have 14 fumbles between Brees and Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
And they've been really fortunate of those 14 to only lose 6. So they've only lost 6 of those 14 fumbles. I mean, you look at Carr, he's fumbled 11 times, but he's lost 8.
Yeah. Wow.
So, you know, Josh Allen has fumbled 5 times, but he's lost every single one. So I think the problem for the Saints of fumbling is actually way worse than we think it is. It's just like they've been lucky enough to either have it go out of bounds or fall on it. So it does, like, remember Latavius Murray had a fumble yesterday.
Yep.
And it just fell out of bounds. So like it's actually been much more fortunate than you think, but the Saints are putting the ball on the turf. And if you're another team and you're studying film, it's not just Taysom Hill. They're dead last in the league.
Yeah.
You know, just with fumbles. It's a problem.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because teams look at the film and it's like, oh, the Saints are fumbling. Let's punch the ball out. Whereas if you're a team that doesn't fumble a lot, yeah, teams will emphasize, hey, try to punch the ball out. But when you fumble a lot, teams will say that in meetings. Hey, defense, hold him up. Second guy, go in there and punch the ball out. They lead the league in fumbles. Like,
yeah,
regression to the mean is just a bitch, you know? But they've got to cut it out. I mean, listen, they didn't fumble all last year and it cost them a playoff game. So they may go through the playoffs and not turn the ball over at all. You don't know. But they got to clean it up. The thing is, though, Sean Payton is so detail-oriented. Like, he fucking knows that shit. Like, you know, I mean, but they've got to figure it out. And it becomes more critical because Taysom, once Drew's back, he's going to be playing a limited number of snaps. And the thing is, Andrew, probably once Drew gets back, Taysom's going to be limited in snaps. He's probably going to get a lot of red zone snaps. That means you can't. The fumbles become even more critical, right? So they just gotta clean it up. The other thing on offense,
that was sort of big news before the game was Nick Easton started over Ruiz at guard, and you gave him a D+, and you gave Pete a D+. That's horrible grading for your guards. What's going on?
Yeah, so with Pete, he got himself in trouble because of his get-off off the snap. A number of times, he was just slow off the snap. And, you know, maybe he's just coming back from a concussion, and I don't know. He's had games like this before where he's just slow off the snap. I mean, when he gets his hands on you, usually it's over. But he didn't look like he was moving quite as well, so... You know, maybe it was just a bad game for Pete. He has those. You know, I'm less worried about him. Nick Easton, his pass protection was a joke in this game. And so I don't know if you go back to Ruiz, but guard play in general for the Saints right now is a concern. And I want to give credit to James Hurst because he came in and played well. You want to give credit to Will Clapp, who now 2 weeks in a row, he needs to be on the active roster. And honestly, like, if he keeps playing like this as a jumbo guy, I wonder if Will Clapp should maybe get a chance to start. But I just feel like right now the guard position is a problem for the Saints. But the combination of Ruiz and Easton is really not working out. And Andres Pete is really hit or miss.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Well, and the thing that makes the Ruiz pick worse is they had a ton of good wide receivers in the draft, and the Saints didn't pick them. They picked Ruiz instead. And so fans look at all these receivers like Justin Jefferson from Minnesota having 1,000 yards. And it's one thing if they'd have drafted Ruiz and he'd have been good. Then you'd be like, well, they drafted him, and he's good, and he's starting, and he's a good guard. Be happy with the good player you have. But when you miss on a dude and you have all these skill position players rocking it, it makes it even worse. The last thing I want to talk about negative with the offense, Jared Cook, man. I know he caught a touchdown, but that dude, he's dropping. He's not fumbling, but he's dropping a lot of passes. I mean, that fourth down drop was freaking critical when the Saints, they weren't sure about Lutz because he was hurt. They weren't sure if he was hurt or whatever. And Sean Payton was like, I don't want to try a 54-yard field goal. They go for it on like fourth and five. Taysom hits him. Should have been a first down. He dropped it.
Yep. That Jared Cook has been rough all year, and he looks like the Jared Cook of his whole career. You know, he doesn't look like the Jared Cook of the last 2 years when he kind of transformed himself. So, yeah, he's inconsistent. He's not playing well. You know, who Jared Cook reminds me of a little bit. He reminds me of Colston at the end, where he's still making a play here comparison. And there. But it's just like you can't trust him anymore. Like something happened, and he's just inconsistent now. I'm afraid at this point, like Jared Cook kind of is who he is.
Yeah, it's
he's definitely more Kobe Fleener than he is Jared Cook at this point.
Put it this way, I'm really happy that they have Troutman and he looks like a decent starting tight end, because now Jared Cook, he's going to move along next year and they're not going to keep him, and you're going to be like, "It's fine. Troutman, it's your show." Like, and that makes the Troutman pick even better. You know, before we get out of here with the grades, is there anything that I haven't touched on that you wanted to talk about? And by the way, you should totally sign up for these grades. They are freaking amazing. And once you sign up, Andrew, we got an archive of it. You can go back and do the grades tag, and you can read all the grades from the whole year and see how players progress and that sort of thing. So it's totally worth your money. Sign up, become a $10 patron, and get full access to it. But that aside, is there anything that I didn't touch on that we need to?
No, I think that's you know, listen, Michael Thomas bouncing back was huge, and I think that's important. And you know, obviously, you want to give a shout out to DeMario Davis. I mean, DeMario Davis, really the last 5 weeks, I think he has now 4 A or A pluses in a row, and he's just been playing at an insane level. He's been grading really high, and it's just, he's doing everything well. He's blitzing, he's stopping the run, he's covering. It doesn't matter. Like, all facets of his game are clicking right now. And I think that's a big reason why you see the Saints as the number one defense in the NFL, is I really believe he's playing like the best linebacker in the NFL.
And the thing is, the Quan Alexander move, just, it makes their linebackers deeper and even, like you said before, more dynamic, because
yep.
They can play Quan Alexander. They love him against the pass, and he's just a guy, like, they did it at the trade deadline. It's a fifth-round pick. No one cares about a fifth-round pick, and it's just one of those small moves that can pay really big dividends. So the Saints, they're 10-2. This is the fourth straight year they're in the playoffs, which they've never done, and it's also the fourth straight year they've clinched a playoff spot before most of us are even done with our Christmas shopping. Like, this 4 years, it literally is the golden age of Saints football. It was, I mean, between 2009 and 2011, I know they won a Super Bowl, so maybe you view it that way. These 4 years, they're better. So enjoy this. You got 4 more weeks of it, then we can stress eat and drink about the playoffs, and we know all that. We won't get to that. So just enjoy these last 4 weeks of Saints football, and there's no better way to enjoy Saints football than with the Saints Happy Hour podcast. So sign yourself up if you're not a patron, and join us. We are the most fun Saints community in the world. So do it. So for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you again tomorrow.